Worship team, thank you so much for leading us down that path today. Oh, pray for me that I can do this by noon. Well, that is not a good way to start a sermon. It's kind of like the sign on our marquee, bad habits. I bet everybody drove by this week and saw our marquee. It says, 10:45, bad habits. Oh, I can't wait to see that. I want to hear more about my bad habits. Because you know good and well, the preacher's not going to get ever talk about his. Because right on the top of the list is long sermons. So just pray for us all, will you? Hey, we're going to go in just a few minutes to 2 Peter, but we are going to talk about bad habits today. But let me ask you something. Have you ever seen anything more ferocious than a mother when somebody's messing with her kids? I mean, there's a word for that, and I don't think I could use it in church, but, you know, it has been unleashed when a mom is upset, when somebody's ruffled her feathers. I think that's maybe where they go, hot as a wet hen or something like that, you know. I don't know how that goes, but I've never doused a hen with water, but I bet they don't like it. I tried to baptize a cat once. It wasn't good either. But here's the thing. When we look at 2 Peter in just a second, you got to understand, Peter was one of these awesome disciples. He walked with Jesus. And his message, basically, if you would, was to take these people who had been locked in this mentality through the direction and the guidance they'd been given, okay? And when he reintroduced them to Jesus, they broke free from a lot of stuff. Did you find yourself breaking free from a lot of things when you met Jesus? Absolutely. I mean, things that binded you, you know, some bad habits. You got rid of some bad habits when you met Jesus. And then these people come along, and the Bible calls them false teachers. And it gets them to drift back into where they were. And the reason that we're going to talk about bad habits in conjunction with what Peter's saying is two reasons. Number one, I want you to hear the language he uses, how upset he is about the way these people are treated, how personally he took it. But then also, he talks about how that when they become back to these things, that they are slaves to the things that master you. I don't know about you, but slaves is not a good word that we use anymore. Never was a really good word anyway. But in the Bible, when it talks about slaves, it's not talking about people who were taken from one country, put under shackles, and put somewhere else. We're talking about people that were put under slavery because of the things that they thought and they felt, and the things that they were taught. So join me in 2 Peter, the second chapter, verses 17 through 22. Not all of that is up on the screen, but let me start in verse 17. It says, these men, here's Peter. I wish we could have a video of Peter teaching. I bet his face would be contorted. I bet he would go, these men. These men are springs without water, mist driven by a storm. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. Hello, this doesn't sound like this is going to be a happy little talk here. For they mouth empty, boastful words, and by appealing to the lustful desires of the sinful human nature, they entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. They promise them freedom, while they themselves are slaves of depravity. For a man is a slave to whatever has mastered him. If they have escaped the corruption of the world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in and overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than to have known it and then turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. That is a powerful statement. If you're going to make comparisons, it would have been better if you'd never even known. Much less known, and then through these false teachers, go back to it. And then he says this. Get this visual picture going for you in your mind. Of them, the Proverbs are true. A dog returns to its vomit, and a pig that is washed goes back to her wallowing in the mud. I love that word vomit, don't you? I just love it. It's just such a soothing picture, isn't it? I know in our little world, you know, when the kids were little, my wife, who is this incredible individual, I mean, she deals with all these medical emergencies, you know. She used to do PIC lines and IVs and all this other stuff. But I'm going to tell you, she would go to the door of our kids' bedroom, and if one of them had vomited, she'd go, and she would leave. So that left me in charge. So I went in, and I had a whole little plan, babe. I'm going to tell you, it was easy. I just take the four corners, we pull it up, I throw the pillow away, we take it outside, I hose it down, we wash it, and we do the next thing the next night. But Debbie couldn't handle. She can handle blood. That's amazing. It's not a pretty picture, is it? And that's what it looks like when we go back to the things that we've escaped. And you know, a lot of times we do that because they were bad habits in the first place. The Living Bible says it this way: for a man is a slave to whatever controls him. Some people are slaves to work. Some people are slaves to jealousy. Some people are slaves to what happens down at the casino. Some people are slaves to the internet and lustful sexual things. Some people are slaves to alcohol and drugs and whatever. And some to gossip and other people's opinions. It's you're a slave to that. The Bible says that you are master. They're now your master. You're not in control. They are. And it all happens, and that makes perfect sense about bad habits. Matter of fact, there's three habits we're going to talk about today. Bad habits, which are destructive. Positive habits, which are constructive. And then, of course, there's those annoying habits that, you know, all they're just annoying. You know, hey, if you pop your knuckles, I don't care. Just don't pop my knuckles, all right? I don't. If you pop your gum, whatever. You know, we have all those little annoying things. Listen, we're not too worried about those things, okay? You just need to get your act together and don't do them around me, and we'll be all right. But if you've ever noticed, and you have, you can't negotiate with a bad habit. You can't even be rational, have a conversation with a bad habit. But you can do this. You can be in denial to a bad habit. And there's a lot of people out there that are in denial. Well, I just don't even know I'm doing it. You know, that's a great escape clause, isn't it? You can also excuse your bad habit. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. Even myself, I'm not hurting a single person. Well, okay, excuse it all you want. You can justify your bad habit. Well, it's really not that bad. Matter of fact, I think it's okay. It's amazing the things that God says is wrong, and people get into them, and they go, well, you know, I think God's okay with this. I think God understands. You know, I don't go overboard, whatever. You know, we love to use these illustrations. That's because we justify it. Matter of fact, here's the greatest thing that we do in justifying our bad habits. Everybody else is doing it. Well, guess what, Mom and Dad? If you're doing it, don't ask your kids not to do it. Can we just sit on that one just for a second? If you're doing it, don't ask your kids not to do it. I think I'll move on right now because I think we just need to move on, you know. And if your habit is getting bad enough to where you got an addiction, you know what you need? You need deliverance. And sometimes it's exactly what it comes down to. But how do you identify a bad habit? Well, it's pretty simple. It's just something you do repeatedly over and over and again. And you're compelled to do it. You're drawn to do it. You've kind of created this atmosphere to where you get back into it. You don't even know that you're doing it. It's routine. It's repetitive. It's something that you wish you didn't do, but you do it. Now, guess what? Sometimes good people are bound by bad habits. Is that amazing to you? But it is true. Sometimes a church needs to take a little inventory and realize, you know, I've got some bad habits that probably aren't real constructive to me, my family, and I don't think that God really likes them a whole lot, too. But why are they so powerful? Because, first of all, they're so slow. They're so slow in the way they get there. They begin to bind you. They start creating themselves in you as a snail's pace. Listen, I know I'm going to disappoint all of you when I told you that I did smoke marijuana, but I've never run for president, so I'm okay. Okay. But I'll tell you what happened. I got around George, and George was a best friend. George was smoking marijuana, so I asked him the question. I said, hey, George, I said, man, what's it like to smoke marijuana? He goes, you know, I really don't want to tell you because I don't want to be the one to get you started. Guess who got me started? George. He told me all about that, you know, and I said, and finally I got to the point, I said, hey, you know, I'd like to try that. And it was, you know, it's just really, you know, in between, you know, no big deal and all the other stuff. But listen, I can tell you honestly, the second week in August is when I asked him, by the time I got saved in October the 18th, I was smoking 2 marijuana cigarettes every day at lunch before I went to football practice. I have no idea what I did at football practice, but I went to football practice. I'm going to tell you, I went from, that's just 2 months, guys. Boom. I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ saved me when I was at that point, because if it had not, George has already gone off the pills. I was going to follow him. That's the way a bad habit begins to get an example. It gets to be set. It's binding. It gets real just comfortable. Well, speaking of comfort, I heard this. Bad habits are like comfortable beds. They're easy to get into and really hard to get out of. Ask the smoker. Ask the smoker. And listen, I'm going to tell you what. This church has never condemned you for the things that you do. I hope the Holy Spirit will convict you over the things that would better your life. This is not a public health personal, you know, safety announcement or anything like that. This is me telling you the truth. Listen, smokers, they did not get addicted to smoking on the first cigarette. It takes a while. It takes a little bit. You're just associated with this stuff. And I don't want to get to talk about coffee. I'm not saying it's a bad habit. Hey, There's people a lot of make a lot of money out there. I wish I owned a Starbucks, you know, but I can't say all those things that people order. It's amazing. See, I'm not here picking and choosing. God's picking and choosing what you need to talk about today. So not only is it something that binds you, but it will break your will. Once you get into this habit, it begins to control you. The Bible says that it becomes your master. And we like to think that we get to pick and choose a lot of things, but when you become a slave, if you will, to this thing, if you become in that situation a bad habit, you come back to it routinely over and over again, you find yourself keep going there, then the Bible says that it is mastering you. And you know what happens at that point? We usually don't resist because we don't feel like we can. We kind of give up. We do that with food. We do that with all kinds of other things. And the attitude becomes, why do I try? I just keep going back to the same thing. I promise you, and I say this with a great deal of love, if you will, there's a lot of people that should be in this church today, and it's not because it's our church. I'm talking about church, period. But you know what? They found themselves going back and forth and back and forth, and they just gave up. They just got tired, and they couldn't do it anymore. And they felt the shame associated with their bad habit when they came to church, and they felt convicted and condemned maybe by some, whatever. And you know what? They said, it's just easier just to drop out. And that's a sad place to be. It binds you. It'll break your will. But I'm going to tell you what the biggest problem is. It's so powerful, it destroys your life. This is when it gets really, really serious. How many marriages have been destroyed because of bad habits in that marriage? How many families have been disconnected and dysfunctionalized because of bad habits? How many relationships have been messed up? How many jobs have been lost because of bad habits? You see, bad habits is a cool little phrase that we get to use for, well, I just procrastinate too much, I bite my nails, you know, and stuff like that. No, sometimes it gets serious. And regardless of what we call it, it becomes serious because it becomes damaging. So how do you break a bad habit? It's not easy. We understand that. But it needs to be done in some cases. It needs to be that we get serious. Why are you talking about this, Pastor? Because you know what? I want this to be the greatest year of your life. And why wouldn't I say that this year? Why wouldn't I say that 2017, 2016, on? Why wouldn't I say that the first part of every year? It's something that I usually say. It's something that goes right with the fact that it's January and we have 11 months after this one to live out. But you know what? I want you to look back and really see some advances in this year. I want you to look back with great joys and celebrations of victories instead of ups and downs and ins and outs. I want you to be free of all of this stuff. So we break free from a habit, the grip of a habit, by realizing that sometimes we need to quit calling it a bad habit and call it what it is, and it's sin. You see, the Bible says, whatever you know to do good, but you don't do it, to you that is sin. I thought sin was when you murdered people. I thought sin was when you stole something. I thought sin was when you tell a lie. I thought a sin was when you gossip. I thought a sin was all these other things. But you know what? I found out that when I know something is supposed to be done, it is good, but I refuse to do it, God tells me it's sin. But we like to treat our bad habits just little issues in our life. Anybody have an anger issue here? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to raise my hand because I don't want you to raise your hand. Somebody else will do that for you. But if you have an anger issue, you know what? Aren't you tired of living with that? Aren't you really? You know, so let's make sure that this bad habit we excuse as a bad habit, or you're Irish, that we get across and away from that and start deciding, you know what? We want to do what God wants. I want to be free from that. So how do you break it? You treat it very seriously. Here's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 10. No temptation has seized you except which is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, He will also provide a way out so that you can stand under it. When we use that word tempted, we think of a sexual temptation or temptation to steal something or to tell a lie. But I'm going to tell you what, you know when that bad habit is fixing to creep its ugly head once again and pull you back into something and say, you know what, I like being the master here, so let me make you slave again to this situation, this thing, this whatever you do, and try to pull you back in. And you see it coming, and God says, hey, I will provide a way out. So you can break a bad habit. You can get out from underneath a bad habit, but you cannot do it alone. You cannot do it alone. Most of you have tried and failed. So we need to go back and find out what God's plan is. The first thing we need to do is we need to recognize and be honest with ourselves that we do have a problem. Recognize that you have a problem and do something about it. Here's something that the church has gotten away from sometimes. We love to preach sermons that make us feel good, and we love it when the Holy Spirit moves and gives us a word. Remember, were you here last week when we had a message in tongues and the interpretation was, "Do not despair, I am near." Man, that's awesome, and especially in the context of that setting. It was a fabulous, fabulous service. And we love it when God shows up. But God loves it when we show up and are honest with ourselves. And this is what he says to do with those feelings. In 1 John 1:9, he says, "If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness." The reason we don't get rid of most of our bad habits is because we really don't think they're sin. They're just issues. They're just the way I am. It's just the way I'm built. It's the way I react. I just have this one little flaw. Well, I understand that. But God says, I see a little bit more. And if you're going to be changed, if you're going to be healed, it starts with confession. It's admitting what's going on. Listen, I don't care about your annoying habits. And I'm not talking about just little things that maybe drive your husband or wife crazy, because every husband and every wife drives each other crazy with some kind of annoying little habit. Quit shaking your head, Joyce. I'm for you, John. Hang in there, baby. But you know, we're talking about heaven and hell issues this morning. The things that will separate you from going to heaven and living with Jesus forever, and the things that will send you and condemn you to hell. That's why we need to get serious about this stuff, because that's exactly where this thing is leading. That's exactly where this thing is leading. The alcoholic has to admit that they are an alcoholic or they will never, ever see freedom. You have to admit you have an anger issue or you'll never express that and never realize that. The first step to breaking these circumstances is recognizing you have a problem. The second is to reject it. The second is to oppose it. The second is to say, I'm not going to do this anymore. And even though you may have a whole history of failure, you can stand up one more time and keep going forward. The problem with this is that, you know what? As long as you don't quit, you're going somewhere. But if you quit, you give up. And that's the hardest place in the world. We need to turn from the bad habit and turn to God. You know what it's called? The Bible calls it repentance. And I've said this many times, but it bears repeating. Repentance is, I go this direction and it's in the wrong direction. I'm following the issues or the compulsion of this bad habit, if you will. I recognize this is not right. This is not what I want to do. I don't want to keep creeping onto the internet every now and then and we're looking at pornography. I don't like those words coming out of my mouth. I hate that I talk about people like that. I go to bed feeling bad about stuff. I don't want to do this anymore. So we recognize, we ask God, forgive me. And then you've got to move from here and you've got to go in the right direction. And you go toward God. This is away from God, if you noticed. And this is toward God. That's what we do. And it's tough, but once you make that move, God says, I will be there for you. Philippians 4, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He's going to be there to help you with it. Isaiah said, do not fear, for I am with you. I do not be dismayed, for I am with your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Listen, God needs to be the primary source of our strength. And you found this out to be true. Jesus can do more in 5 seconds than you can do in 5 minutes, 5 days, 5 months, or 5 years in trying to oppose a bad habit. He can free you just like that. I'm telling you, it's amazing how people who have just been literally slaves to alcohol, to drugs, whatever, it's amazing those testimonies you hear. They come to the altar, boom, God saves them. Listen, the minute I got saved, I never touched another marijuana cigarette in my whole life. I never touched another ounce of alcohol. Words that came out of my mouth that made me feel like I was big, because I've always been a small man complex kind of guy, you know, made me feel big and bold and everything else. You know, I never said those words anymore. He cleaned up my mouth. He cleaned up a lot of things. A couple things we need to work on. And we had a few issues that didn't want to let go that early, that easy, you know. But hey, I mean, some of those things just drop. And God will do that for you. He will do it for all of us. The more you allow God to be a part of your life, the more you're going to find the grip of these bad habits losing their grip, losing their appeal, and God is going to take you somewhere that you never dreamed you could ever be on your own. Listen, the third thing is this. They have to be replaced. They have to be replaced. Let me read this exactly the way I wrote it. There must be a day when we choose to be what we can be instead of what we are, even if it is what we have always been. There's a day we have to choose, I want to be that. I know what I am now, and I've always been this. You know what all this is looking backwards in defeat. When God says, listen, I know you haven't been there yet, but I can take you there. I can take you there. follow me and let me free you from this. Numbers, the 33rd chapter. A lot of times we see God killing people for no reason, it seems like, in the Old Testament. This is a circumstance when he told them to go in and he told them to possess the land. But this is what he said about the inhabitants. He said, but if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land, he didn't say kill them, wipe them out, moms, dads, babies. He said, if you don't drive them out of the land, those you allow to remain will become barbs in your eyes, thorns in your side. They will give you trouble in the land where you live, and they will do to you what I plan to do to them. I will do to you. You see, we got to get serious about these things. Bad habits is just a title, but the results are in our lives. We got to get rid of these things, and we got to oppose them and get them on down the road. We have to drive them out just like anything else. They have to disappear. I know it's hard. I know it's difficult. It's not anybody. This is not a feel-good message, but it addresses a lot of places in our life where you just have those little areas that if you could just get free from them, look how you would soar. If you could just get rid of this, look how great it would be. It's amazing. We want to thrive in the Lord Jesus Christ, not just survive. I know that's an old cliche, but it's still true of all of us. I know that it is. So let me give you some new habits to put into the place of those old habits. First thing is simply this. Memorize God's Word. I'll tell you what. God's Word is going to replace all of those things and those thoughts that you feel the minute you start feeling tempted to do this or do that or to go back to this and go back to do that, reestablish this relationship, go back to that old lifestyle. What you need to fill it with something that is going to be constructive, and God's Word is powerful. Hebrews, the 4th chapter, the Word of God speaks and is alive and active. It cuts deeper than any two-edged sword. It strikes through to the places where soul and spirit meet, to the innermost intimacies of man's being. It exposes the very thoughts and motives of the man's heart. Psalms, the 1st chapter, picture this in your head. It says, blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, or stand in the way of the sinner, or sit in the seat of the mocker. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. And on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by the streams of water, which will yield its fruit in season, and which leaf does not wither. Wherever he does, prospers. Man, this is something that is constructive. All this other stuff has been destructive, but now let's put something that's going to take us somewhere. Psalms 119 said, those who love thy law have great peace. Wouldn't it be great to go to bed at night? Even though you know the struggle is here, your flesh is still crying out to want you to go back and be mastered and slaves of this bad habit again, but you get to go to bed at night with peace because God has freed you. The other thing is this, you need to find support from other people. You need to get some support. And listen, I don't know about any 12-step groups that you need to join. I don't know. You know, this isn't about sign up for this, that, and the other. But you need to find support. Because the longer you try to take care of a bad habit on your own, the more it's all in your control. It's concealed within your confines. And you can decide whether you're victorious or not. And the majority of our bad habits are never exposed to anybody else anyway. Have you ever noticed that? I mean, we don't look at porn at the office where everybody can see it. We don't cuss out loud everywhere where everybody can hear it. We don't talk about everybody out there so that everybody can hear me gossiping. On and on and on those excuses go. But when we do talk with other people out loud and a part of a process, whether it's an individual or individuals, God begins to bless us and helps us. Why do I need to drag another person into this, Pastor? I mean, can't I just deal with it on my own, pray about it and everything? Because the root of the problem is relational. You have a relationship with this bad habit. This isn't just a quirk in your life. You have a relationship. You spent a lot of time together. You've gone on a lot of dates together. You've had a lot of dinners together. You've spent the night together a lot of times. And you know what? To break free from that, you need a new relationship. One that is with Christ, but also one that God will support you through other people that you know. The amazing thing is when you risk being honest with somebody, you begin to feel the freedom associated with honesty, dignity, integrity. Your character begins to change and you become an upright person, which is right next to being a righteous person, which only Christ can make you. James, the 5th chapter, says this, therefore confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Listen, I understand there's some things you don't want to share with everybody, but I can't pray for you if I don't know. We don't have confessionals here in our church. And be honest with you, I'm not the one that you probably have to talk to the most anyway. But if somebody that you really care about and you know they care about you, they will receive you. They will accept you. They will not judge you. But you know what? How can they pray for you if you don't go and talk to them and say, you know, will you pray with me about this? I really, it's amazing. It's amazing how that works. Even though we would reject it openly, it's amazing what God does with it. Hey, the next thing is just take it easy. Take it one day at a time. You know, whenever we have these bad habits, things, you know, it's almost like, you know, when you go, oh, you know, I put on too much weight. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to quit eating. That's what some of people try to do. I'm going to quit eating. I'm going to eat the rind off of a grapefruit every morning. I'm going to eat the rind off of a banana at lunch. And I'm just going to fast everything else. Really? That's disgusting. Much less ridiculous. But that's how we react to we've had this issue of this bad habit and the slaves to the master of food. You know, that's how we react. We have this knee-jerk reaction. You know what? I've heard this a long time ago, but it fits. You know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. Listen, you didn't get here in a day. You didn't get here in a week. You know, there's some of these things that God can redeem you right now. He can forgive you. If you die right now, you go straight to heaven, but you still are overweight. Whatever. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry. I did not mean that the way it is. Although some of you are still overweight. Do it on a daily basis. You can't memorize God's word because you read it once. Hello? You can't learn how to pray because you prayed once. Two hellos. You see where we're going with this? God has got a plan for us. And I want you to cross the finish line big time. And I think the best motivation of all is to literally be in love with what you want to be. It's called devotion. You see, most of us try to address a bad habit through discipline. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm not going to say that anymore. And we go into this conversation. I'm not going to say anybody bad or anything. I'm biting my lip and everything. And then, you know, somebody pushes the right button. Boom, we're gone. We lose it. In the right situation, if you're left alone, you're going to crawl right back into that old bad habit. You're going to do that thing you know good and well. If you're all by yourself and you're the only one that's in control, you're going to lose it. You're not going to win because you haven't won before. But you know, the Bible tells us that we have victory. But we have victory as we love the Lord Jesus Christ. If we get devoted to Him and we fall in love with what we want to be, discipline is an issue. Discipline can be applied, but it can't be the only practice. I say that we ought to do this. Most people believe bad habits are broken by discipline. I believe bad habits are broken because of the devotion that we have to what we want to do. So listen, fall in love with what you want to be, what you could be, what you should be, and with God's help, you will be. Quit looking at all the flaws you have in your life. Satan has got enough of that list going around. Satan will help you with all of the junk in your life. Satan will help you remind you how you failed and how miserable you are, how you'll never make it. Let him do his job, but you let God do his job. Let God look at you once in a while and remind you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You are so awesome. You're the best idea I ever had. So good that I sent Jesus, my son, to die on a cross for you so that this thing will not be your master anymore. Why don't we look at it that way? It's because we have been so enamored by the bad habit, and we've, on our own human element, trying to display it, or get rid of it, instead of just falling in love with what Jesus said. We all know want to trumps have to every day. Want to always trumps have to every day. God has a fantastic plan for your life. And listen, the decisions we make today will be lived out tomorrow. They will be lived out tomorrow. So don't let your habits be your God. I'll be back right after this video. That scripture that Paul alludes to in Philippians 3, it says this, "Indeed, I count all these things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as garbage." Why? That I may gain Christ. What is it that you need to give to the Lord today? What is it that's holding you back? You know what? You were created to soar. You know that, don't you? You were created to be victorious. God calls us boldly enough through Paul's words in Romans. He calls us more than conquerors. And too often we end up feeling more than conquered. And today we need to make that a statement of the past and not our future. I'm going to ask you to stand with me. In just a few brief moments, we're going to be dismissed. But between now and then, would you just take that situation? The reason I call it a situation, because I don't know what you want to call it. We've been calling it a bad habit. But with the picture of understanding that this thing has really kind of become my slave. I mean, I'm its slave. It's my master. And from time to time, I get to overwhelm it and church up. And I get to be a little disciplined. And I get away from it. But it keeps coming back. And God says, "Will you give it to me?" Have you ever given it to the Lord? That's where it needs to go. Regardless of whether it's measured in a physical addiction or regardless of it's something that nobody else knows, you've got that thing covered pretty good. We're pretty good at deceiving other people, even those that are closest to us. But today it's got to go. It's got to go. We've come to the point to where we no longer want this to rule our lives. And as I pray, I want you to pray. And if you're looking for a prayer, just pray this. Father, you know exactly what's on my mind. You know what's in my heart. And I know what's in your heart. I know that you love me. Literally to the point that you send your son Jesus Christ to die for me. So today I pray that through his sacrifice on the cross, that you will forgive me of the things that are holding me back. That today I will thrust forward and be this incredible person that you designed me to be. That I will fall in love with who I want to be and who you created me to be instead of the person that I have become because of these habits in my life. And Father, I understand that everything that habit may have gained to me is nothing but garbage. Garbage compared to what I gain in Christ. The goal here is Christ. Will you do your best to surrender your heart and your life and your habits back to Christ this morning? Father, I join with this wonderful congregation. Lord, I know the private prayers are being prayed right now. I know that those things, as they're worded in their minds, nothing else more so than their lips, that right now they're calling out to you. And Father, I've told them, and you've told them, and we all know that you care so much, but would this be a moment where you would literally convince us by the not only just the knowledge of your forgiveness, but that we might feel it? Lord, it's okay every now and then for us to selfishly say, Lord, help me to feel the victory that I hear about. Help me to experience right now the freedom that you've given me. Help me to literally know without a shadow of a doubt, not in my mind, but in my heart. I feel it with my whole being, Lord God, that I am escaping this situation that I've been bound with, whether it's a number of years or whether it's a number of moments. That, God, I want to be something different here today. So I pray, Lord, grant our prayer. I grant everybody, Lord Jesus, that we would no longer be slaves to the things that masters us. That we will break free from these things, Lord God. They're not just bad habits anymore. There are things that are taking us off course with God. And that means that they're dangerous and they need to go. So God, give me the replacement. And the replacement, obviously, is you. Lord, isn't it great? The replacement is the thing that was the original in the first place. It is Jesus Christ, the most original thing in the world. The Bible tells us through John that you are life. God, I haven't been living a life. I've been in a life of up and down and ins and outs, and I've had these inconsistencies, and I want to be the person that I know you died so that I could be. So today, Lord, give me your life. And I ask this on behalf of everyone here and myself. We ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody, if you agree with me, say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Courtney, why don't you dismiss yourself so you can be at your booth. God bless you for being here today, and thank you for letting me be hard-nosed. You guys are awesome. Okay, vote a hand. I need a vote here. Do you want the worship team to come back and sing us? No, okay, you guys leave. Go ahead. We'll do that tonight at 6 o'clock when you return.